and welcome to the second episode of the KJB Cast. We are here to bring you up to date with all the latest gaming news, reviews, opinions, and gossip. With me this evening is...
Hi, I'm Ken Seiler, a.k.a. Roper Seiler.
I'm James, a.k.a. KJB Blue Nessie.
I'm Kevin, I'm also known as Numinator.
And I'm Jack, a.k.a. Captain Tenacity, the CAPT. Straight off the bat, okay, we have a lot of stuff to get to this week. A lot of news, a lot of information to get to. But first of all, we got some shout-outs from Ken.
First off, thanks, Kevin, for being here. Brian couldn't make it this week, so...
No problem.
Thank you, Kev.
Happy to stand in.
Another KJB member.
Good man yourself.
You've been tagged in.
So, first off, we got pretty much straight away, I contacted some people on Twitter, reached out, and we got a retweet from Naomi Kyle from IGN. She hosts Next Game Boss, Cheap Cool Crazy on the Star Channel, and she also hosts the Daily Fix. So go check that out, and a big thank you.
Nice to get a retweet from a gaming journalist celebrity.
Exactly, oh, yeah. Got a shout out from Marty Miller on Radio Nova. That was awesome. That was Kev's idea. Kudos to him. Got a retweet from The Big Bang in Dundrum Town Centre, their comic book store that just opened kind of recently, and they're fantastic guys, and a big thanks to them. That really helped us. We got a couple retweets based on that too.
No, they're really nice guys in there. Yeah,
love that place.
It's really cool. And we got a retweet from Games Are Evil at gamesareevil.com, and we really appreciate that too because we got some feedback from that too. So thank you all very much. We really appreciate it, and thank you all who retweeted those retweets as well. We're officially on iTunes.
Officially awesome. On iTunes. Big news. Quite happy about this.
Awesomeness.
We got asked a question by Spirit31 on Twitter. So before I give you guys a listen, what makes you stand out? There are tons of video game news outlets already, so I hope you guys have a unique personality.
Yeah, first of all, this question just floored me, because it's so good and it was so direct to the point. It's something that we hadn't considered, even though we really should have.
The second I got asked, I called you. I was like, Jack, what do I do? What do I do?
Are you on Facebook chat? Please be on Facebook chat. I think we need to address this straight off the bat, because we didn't do it last week, and it's something we sort of need to deal with. What I feel that makes us sort of unique is that, you know, we're an amateur operation, we're not professional, we're not tied to any sort of major gaming news organization. Yes, I know a lot of the gaming internet can say that, but like, what makes us different from just the guy shiting on a forum about something? Well, it's just, you know, we've just got, you know, enthusiasm for this, we've got passion for this, and we try to take things at a professional standpoint, even though we're amateurs.
I spent a solid 2 hours a night, maybe 3 hours a night, just doing research for more this podcast.
More than that, Ken.
Constant updates on Facebook.
I know, yeah. When I wasn't doing research, I was tweeting, I was Facebooking, I was developing advertising and stuff, and we all had a huge part to do in that, and it was constantly a lot of work just to make this go off the ground. And then when we weren't doing that, we have coming up SSX review from Jack, who like took a lot of time to write that, and...
Yes, a lot of time.
So check that out on Facebook, but you'll hear more about that later. And so we're independent. We're unique. We're different. And we're very funny.
Laugh at our jokes. we're doing this because we want to. We're not doing this because we're getting paid for it, or because there's something in it for us. We're not doing this to further any sort of game journalism careers. We just really love video games. We love
Pure
playing
passion.
Them. We love playing them. We love talking about them. Even if we're just howling into a void here, it's something that we like to do. So please, you know, stick with us.
It'll get better, I promise. Send us money.
swear to God. Okay, and
so let's go into the
hopefully
podcast.
That answered Spirit 31's question and any other questions that you might have had. But please,
if you have questions, do send them in, because we will give shout-outs to the best questions. The one that deserves to be answered, of course, was Spirit 31's, but we will take more as they come.
Yeah, we will have an email section when you fuckers start sending us emails.
Let's get into the podcast. Let's talk about the Titanic of a game, which is now Assassin's Creed, because it is
I thought you were legitimately going to talk about Titanic there. Yes. Like, let's start this gaming podcast off. Titanic 3D, everyone. Titanic 3D.
I'll get a Celine Dion bit just one in the background of this as well.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 3, building on what we had last week.
It's not even leaking anymore. It's just, it's full of holes. It's like someone just
we
took a minigun to it.
We knew it wasn't an official, we knew it wasn't just a leak.
I think it just got really carried away.
Flowing out of every
This is someone blowing up the Hoover Dam this week. Yes. The news equivalent of that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, well, let's get the uninteresting part out of the way first. Assassin's Creed has been confirmed for Wii U. All you Wii U
Moving
users.
Straight on.
So the trailer suggested it, but they've confirmed it. There will be day and night. There will be different traveling. And
it's going to be a much more different experience. It's something we touched upon last week, but it's almost been confirmed. You're going to have big cities. You're going to have the big cities. You're going to have New York and Boston. I mean, they're probably going to include Philadelphia as well, because you can't really not. But you're going to have a frontier that's 1.5 times the size of the area in Brotherhood. Now, I'm presuming that just means Rome, as opposed to any of the frontiers we've gotten in Assassin's Creed 2.
I'm not sure. It's definitely from the size of Brotherhood. It's,
now, whether that's going to be a massive, you know, open world sort of thing, and whether that's going to be like a GTA sort of thing, or if it's going to be a transition between segments of it, as would be Assassin's Creed 2, we don't know yet. What we do know is that it's big, and it's filled with trees. Lots and lots and lots of trees.
You're going to be Tarzaning around the place.
Tarzaning? I suppose
that's running through the wilderness.
Which is an interesting aspect. It's something that's really going to change the game, I think. Anyway, it's going to be quite a lot different. It's going to be far more organic.
Do they have to change the mechanics of it to run through the trees and then from the tree line to the cities?
Yeah, they're overhauling the engine. I mean, obviously for the cities, they're probably going to be hanging on to some of the old animations that they've had so far. But it's going to be different buildings. It's going to be wooden buildings and wooden buildings instead of stone and different architectural styles. So it's obviously going to change something.
And they're going to be hunting too. A little bit of Red Dead Redemption right there.
See, you thought Red Dead Redemption. I thought Snake Eater.
Oh, yeah. after discussion last week, it's always Red Dead.
But this is going to be for survival as opposed to just getting pelts that you can sell, which is probably going to play into the character's Indian heritage, which has been confirmed. He's going to be half British, half American Indian, which is going to hopefully provide an interesting dynamic to the game.
I don't want to pronounce his name.
Connor.
That's a good one. I like that.
Steve.
IGN scooped this. Now, I know you guys don't really like the whole multiplayer thing, but there will
I love the Assassin's Creed.
I actually quite enjoyed the multiplayer.
I was playing it last night.
I didn't too much like the overhaul they did for Revelations. Admittedly, I didn't play that much of Revelations, but I absolutely love the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer. It was different and it was new and it was very well implemented.
Well, then have I got news for you. There will be
good news or bad news.
There'll be 8-player multiplayer online and there'll be 4-player co-op.
Co-op is going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see how they implement it.
It'd be cool if you can do tactics and stuff like you go this way, I go this way, we'll corner them off.
Are they going to do the Mass Effect route where it's going to be a sort of side missions? Whether you're going to be Connor's little assassin crew. I'm wondering, is Connor going to get an assassin crew in the same way that Ezio had assassin crew?
I heard he is. He's going to be training in new assassins like he did in the Brotherhood.
I'd say so.
Okay. It's a mechanic that they've had for 2 games running. I don't think they're going to ditch it now.
I think it works really well, though, as well.
Yeah, no, it's a nice little thing. Although, one thing that they are getting rid of, and I'm very happy about this, they're getting rid of that, frankly, retarded tower defense game. The tower defense game in Revelations.
I haven't played it.
I
have heard it's terrible, but
I've seen videos.
It's weird. It's weird. Like, it's so flow-breaking. You're playing as an assassin, and then suddenly you're standing on top of a rooftop saying, you go here, you go here, you go here. And then 20 Templars come running down the street going, oi, 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 oi. And then, you know, it's just weird. It just clangs with the rest of the game. And, you know, you're setting up barricades, you're having crossbowmen and snipers. It was stupid. It was just a part of Assassin's Creed Revelations that I really didn't like, which I haven't played that much of, as I said. But
did you finish the game?
No, I've played about 2 hours of it. I will get it finished by 3, because I want to find out how they move along the story and how they wrap up Ezio and Altair. But that's the only reason I want to play it. I want a new Assassin's Creed game. I want a proper one, not an expansion pack.
They've set the dates as 1753 to 1783, so they're probably going to include the Great Fire of New York, the winter at Valley Forge.
Like the 1753 to 1783, that encompasses the whole aspect of the revolution, from the pre-revolution sort of ideological build-up right up until the Treaty of Paris when peace is signed. So that's a good time period for them to go in.
I know you're particularly excited about some of the cameo appearances in the commercial. Would you like to elaborate?
I'm a history student. I've been studying the American Revolution for both my modules this year. So like this is pretty fucking awesome. Cameos include straight off the bat George Washington. He's apparently got quite a large role, and Benjamin Franklin, who Ubisoft are saying is not going to be just a carbon copy of Da Vinci. Even though, you know, Franklin, historical fiction has always played him up as an inventor, and yes, he was the kite and electricity and all that. I'd be more interested to see if they're going to be referring to him, you know, fucking his way through every single whore in America. He liked doing that quite a lot. And there's also going to be like smaller characters like Charles Lee. Now, just very briefly, like Charles Lee was a British general who served in the Seven Years' War and later defended, I think it was Pittsburgh, against a British attack. He's a bit like Connor in this side. He's stringing both sides, which is going to be interesting, I think.
Just quickly going back to the Great Fire. There is speculation in real life that this Great Fire was started on purpose and stuff like that. Do you think that'll be a story plot? Do you think this will come in as a...
It could be a story plot, because I was saying last week that I hope that they weren't going to go along the lines of Americans are obviously the good guys, so they're the assassins, and the British are clearly evil, so they're Templars. They're sort of going that way. The British are clearly going to be the villains in this. I mean, it's easier to cast them as that because historically speaking, they are accepted as being the villains in this situation. But it could be the Great Fire in New York could be anything. It's like Ken, you were saying to us as well. It could be like you, the protagonist, starts the fire in order to smoke out some Templars. Or it could be a big action set piece where you're fighting Templars and then something goes awry and then the whole city's in flames. It could be awesome that way. We don't know at this stage, but it's a major historical event during this period, so stands to reason they'd be associating with it.
Is it going to be another Desmond game?
Yeah, this is the last Desmond game.
The last Desmond game.
There will also be equipment upgrades. They're going to go back to that whole thing of you can upgrade your equipment and stuff. And even contrary to the sort of in the trailer, he didn't have his hidden blades, but they said that this will definitely be coming back as well.
Yeah. It's a major Assassin's Creed.
It was really bizarre.
I don't know if anyone's noticed in the trailer the tomahawk is the blade is in the shape of the assassin symbol, which might not work out particularly well in real life, but
In the leaked images, I went back and looked at the leaked images, but the Assassin's Creed logo was actually always in the tomahawk.
Yeah, exactly.
But Assassin's Creed has got an October 30th release date, but I'm not sure what that is for Ireland, but I assume this is an American release date, so October 30th. So
October 30th. Ireland and the UK will probably be
November.
You know, November 2nd.
Or November 2nd, usually about 3 or 4 days later.
3 or 4 days, yeah.
Usually the Friday after. I guess that's all our Assassin's Creed news for the moment.
Yeah, that's all the stuff that's all the major details that came out. Other than I don't know if anyone's watching the live stream of the trailer, but it started off a bit weird. At 4:30, something comes on, and it's this weird image of some guy in a robe.
Called Dragon's Dogma,
I think it was. But none of us knew this at the time. Like, all of us were watching it. I saw the live feed streaming. It was like, what the hell is this? What the fuck? WTF? All this. He's running through the forest, and yeah, there's wolves. Like, oh, I suppose this could be colonial America. I mean, graphics look pretty shitty for an Assassin's Creed game. Then a fucking Cyclops comes out of nowhere and he starts firing lightning bolts at him. He's like, hang on a minute.
Well, at least you got to see that. I was sitting there till 5:30 going, where the fuck is this video?
Oh, no, as soon as it then cut to the IGN guys in the office, it went, well, I'm not waiting around this long. Fuck that. And just logged off.
Well, at least you're lucky enough to actually like be at home at that stage. I was still travelling home at that stage.
I wasn't at home, but...
Okay, moving on.
So, very quickly, 3 new Battlefield 3 expansion packs have been announced for 2012. They've announced the names and everything, but I think we'll just go into more detail as it's announced. But I just wanted to be ahead of the curve a little bit.
Next up, a little bit of news, Bioshock Infinite.
We missed the release date last week. That was our bad.
Not bad for that, but the release date is October 16th in the US and October 19th everywhere else.
Quickly, I want to ask you guys, how do you feel about this? How do you feel that America gets all the... not including Avengers, mind you, but America gets all the...
week beforehand. Okay, United States.
How do you guys feel about this sort of that America gets Mass Effect 3 days before us? How did Bioshock 3 days before?
The only problem I have with it is that I have to go to my usual websites and desubscribe from any massive, like I had to desubscribe from our Reddit on Mass Effect on Reddit, because half of the shit that was coming up was spoiler tagged, and I just went, if I see one thing that spoils this game, I'm going to be like that rage face of the guy flipping his table. Yeah. I swear to God. Nice. I will fucking explode if this game gets... I had to stay away from Twitter. I had to stay away from my Twitter feed other than to tell people to listen to this podcast, because so many people were just going, yeah, you know that bit of Mass Effect when Shepard does this? It's like, what the fuck, man? Voice. Why do you tweet like that? Who does that?
In this day and age, I think it's ridiculous that there's 3 days a week difference between America and Europe.
To be honest, it doesn't bother me. 3 days is not a whole lot.
It bothers me because then there's so much jokes, so much references, so much stuff that comes out about it, and
you're just going to be careful about where you go on the internet for a week.
Do you feel like you're missing out, like, on 3 days? Where's the Vin jokes? Like, you're behind the rest of the world?
No, it's not that. But you have to dodge every second tease that's on because it's all spoilers or...
I suppose, yeah.
But like, 3 days doesn't bother me. If it's a Pixar film where it's like, the US gets it in June and then we get it in August, that annoys me. But 3 days, it's not too much, man. I don't really care about it that much.
Just while we're speaking about Mass Effect on Twitter...
good call.
I don't know if anybody... I'm assuming you've all seen it, but the Alliance Net News Network kind of the Twitter feed there, it was actually incredible. Like I wasn't expecting it at all, and out of nowhere I just started showing up. So I did a little bit of research into it. So it started on March 5th.
March 5th, was that the release date in the States?
Think so.
Or was it the day beforehand?
I think it was just the day beforehand.
March 5th, that'll be Monday, wouldn't it? CA today. Anyway, whatever it was either the day or the day beforehand that it started.
Yeah, so it's from the perspective of Emily Wong, who is a news reporter for a...
Is Emily Wong the one we punched in the face?
Punch in the face? What?
Remember the reporter you punch in the face?
Oh, yeah.
If you take the renegade option?
Yeah, yeah.
You know the one who's like, hey, Shepard, can I get an interview? It's like, hey, you said those really bad things about me last time. Well, guess what? I'm not with N7 anymore and just Decker.
I know. I didn't do that.
Oh, you took the Paragon option with that one.
I'm always the good guy.
Emily Wong reporting.
Yeah, so it started at around 4 o'clock in the evening. You're right there, Kenny.
Emily Wong is that person, by the way.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Do you want to take a few moments to die?
Carry on.
Okay, we'll have an ambulance ready for you, Ken.
Okay. Anyway, Emily Wong, yes.
So Emily Wong started like tweeting about this from her perspective. Like it was basically like.
Good to know that they still have Twitter in the 23rd century.
Yeah, it is that popular.
So, like, she started going on about how the Sol comms started going down. So I'm assuming that's in our solar system
communications. I'm betting that's
and they're like, what the hell's going on? This never happens. There's no reason for this. This is kind of stupid. So then this started about 4 o'clock real time, our time, I suppose you call it.
Real time. Yeah.
And by 6 o'clock. So that's just 2 hours. The entire Twitter feed has just exploded across all of Twitter. Like, it was an incredible bit of.
I saw marketing. A picture. You sent me a picture. I think of someone doctored the Reapers coming in over his house and shit. That was a really cool picture.
So
but was it? Sorry, was that someone just photoshopping, or was that one of BioShock guys going? Here
BioShock,
you go. BioShock, BioWare.
BioWare. No, it was incredibly well done. Anyway, so the Alliance Networks was hashtagging this Solcoms kind of thread, yeah. I suppose you call it. And then everybody just got on board, like pretending that they I suppose, yeah, well, it is make believe after all. Seeing the Reapers.
This is fiction. This is what fiction is for.
Yeah. And they start coming down, destroying everything, vaporizing people.
My house.
Imagine this was the 19,
children,
like
defenseless girls, and
my
fields.
Kitty, Mr. Snuggle Muffins, no.
This Photoshop picture of your cat with a Reaper over it.
Not even that. A Reaper over this charred corpse.
Sorry.
Little collar around it.
Yeah, no, like, I was very impressed by this marketing stint.
Yeah, when you told me, I was blown away. I was like, find out everything you can for the podcast.
Viral marketing.
Let's give Mass Effect even more marketing than it needs right now.
Just quickly, the last thing about Mass Effect, because we don't have that much information about it, because, of course, Ireland doesn't have it.
We haven't played it. We will be playing it tomorrow, but we haven't played it yet.
From the Ashes DLC was released. The launch trailer was fucking amazing. But Mass Effect 2 saves from the cloud won't work. You can't pull it over, so anyone who stored it to the cloud... you're fucked.
On your hard drives.
Yeah,
it's like, a helmet.
They said if you can get it on your original hard drive, it'll probably work a lot better. But if you didn't, then you're pretty much screwed. There's nothing really you
not
can
even
do.
That. What I heard is that you can't just get it from any hard drive. You have to have it on the hard drive that you originally saved it on.
As I said, the original hard drive. But yeah.
Oh, Jack. Sorry.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. I'm stating this again because it's a very important thing.
Yes.
That's good core.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Undergrounding our fellow podcasters.
BioShock Infinite. Did you want to mention the new trailer we saw today?
I did. It was just a little. It was just a little bit of thing.
I haven't seen this. So.
No, neither have I actually.
It can be summed up in like 3 or 4 words, which is evil robot George Washington.
I did see a screenshot. Of
okay,
it,
I have this image of this like Simpsons spin-off of this red-eyed George Washington going around being
must
the shit out
crush
of
British Empire.
From what I've seen of the screenshot, it's not far off.
No,
the
no, he has a Gatling gun.
Does he have Gatling gun wrists?
It is a steampunk George Washington robot marching around firing a Gatling gun, and it looks fucking awesome.
So it's almost directly based on the original?
Yeah, that's what I was
yeah,
thinking.
Exactly. I mean, if you've ever seen pictures of Valley Forge, I mean, it doesn't really do him justice. He was rampaging around, firing rockets into British positions. Oh, it was mad.
You might fail your thesis on your next thesis on history because...
Yeah, see, I shouldn't have based my term paper on George Washington's psychotic killer.
Mecha god.
Mecha robot overlord.
Yeah.
It's a little thing, but it's awesome. Ken Levine has stated that it's not supposed to be a big daddy. It's going to be something different. This is something that was supposed to go around promulgating the ideas of Colombia, which is the city that you're going to be playing in. And they've since been hijacked by the two factions in the game to basically kill each other. It's a little thing, but it's an awesome trailer. I check it out if you can, because there's nothing cooler than a robotic death machine shaped like a historical figure.
So let's move on. Halo 4.
Oh yeah, Halo 4 now. I'm really excited about that.
This is another Master Chief. This is another big thing, that big bit of news that happened this week.
Another thing that leaked like the Titanic. Like it was like all of a sudden there was just so much information everywhere.
There's been a lot of cruise liners sinking this week.
So Halo 4, yeah, they want to focus basically on the books and game history a little bit more this time.
There are more holes in the stories this week than an Italian cruise liner.
Moving on.
Yeah, Halo 4.
Focusing on the books and game history, it's a bold approach because a lot of people haven't really read the books. I'm sure they're just playing the games. The diehard fans have probably read the books, I'm saying. But I mean, I love the games, but I haven't read.
You haven't expanded into the wider game world.
Yeah, I've done a bit. I've read one or two books, and like, I think it's fantastic that they're taking this on board. Like, a whole new direction. Or like, not direction, but whole new background for the whole story.
It's fleshing out the background, which is, it seems to me it's all they have left to do. Because like, Halo 1, 2, and 3 was a very definite trilogy arc. Like, you had this massive threat to humanity, this huge, you know, galactic threat, and there's just this overarching epic story. And the problem is, when you conclude that, how do you expand on it? How do you make... The obvious idea is to go bigger, but like, how do you go bigger when you've got something that threatens to wipe out all life in the entire galaxy? You don't. You have to come up. You have to be very clever with how you're doing a story that like this. Mm.
It's really hard to change Halo without actually changing Halo. Like, they've got a very set game, and you don't want to veer too far from that, or you run the risk of actually ruining the game.
Yeah, and like the two spin-offs have held so close to that. You had Reach and you had ODST, which both just
intertwined.
They fitted themselves into the established Halo canon and the established Halo story arc.
Yeah,
they were both like, Reach was an event that you'd heard about, but you had never really played. I suppose it was expanding on it, but at the same time, it was the start of the Human Covenant War. It's a prequel as opposed to a sequel, and the thing about a prequel is you're always you're still playing within the story that you have. This is, however, moving the story forward into an entirely new direction.
Master Chief's always been kind of an enigma. Nobody knows who he is, where he came from.
They said that they're going to humanize him a little bit.
Yeah. That's what I heard as well. And they're supposed to demask him or something as well.
That was my thing. Like, I was asking if they were going to demask him. I don't necessarily know if they are.
I don't think they will.
I've never really liked the Chief as a character. I mean, he's cool in the sense that... He's cool in the...
Don't be dissing Master Chief.
The door's over there, Jack.
It's okay, Jack. I'm going to turn off your mic for the rest of the
time. No, he's cool in the sense that, he's a badass uber warrior in powered armor, which is cool.
Enough said. Moving on.
No, that's cool. But for some reason, I've never really sort of felt he's as good a character as Gordon Freeman, even though they have arguably the exact same role.
Because he doesn't have a character, that's it. You're just told he's the last of his kind. He's the last chance of humanity.
All you know of him is his armor.
I know. You're supposed to map your... And then that, it's a great little device because it just allows the player to map themselves onto it. But at the same time, I prefer my main character to be like a shepherd, if you know what I mean.
Mass Effect has spoiled you.
Mass Effect has spoiled me for a lot of things.
Oh, well, like what's his name? John? Mass Effect, his name is John.
John 117.
Yeah. He does have his own kind of personality, and it starts coming out towards the end of 3. He has that relationship with Cortana.
Actually, that
you're talking about Halo now.
Yeah.
Okay, because you said Mass Effect a second ago.
No, I said Master Chief.
Master Chief.
Whoops.
That is a good point. Like the Cortana Chief relationship is something that the series, it's one of the series' big strengths, in my opinion, in terms of the story. And I'm glad that since it's literally going to, as far as we can tell, it's going to be the Chief and Cortana on their own, that's going to be something that you really get to play up. I mean, Bioshock Infinite is doing this as well. You're paired up with a very distinct character that you're going to have to share the entire game with, that becomes an integral part of the gameplay in the sort of the way that Cortana
I'm assuming there's going to be like flashbacks of his childhood.
Well, they said that. They're expanding his
conscription
backstory.
Conscription into the Spartan... Elite Force is training, probably.
It'd be pretty cool to see that aspect of someone I've...
It's a really cool idea of... And the books are awesome about it, so...
The most, like, I'm a sound technician. Clearly not a good one because I keep making so many sound errors today. But I'm a sound technician, so I was really excited to hear that they're going to record all new sounds for the game. It's not such a big thing for anyone who's not really that interested in it, but to me it is just so ingenious to just go out there, make all your own sound effects, make all your own things. Because most people would just use the same sound effects again and again from previous games.
Think about it, 343 have big shoes to fill. They're taking over from Bungie. They have gigantic shoes to fill.
But I'm very excited to see what they've got done.
I am as well. Watching that dev diary, I mean, yeah, it's a dev diary, so they're supposed to show you that the guys have a lot of enthusiasm for the game. But they did seem to think that they've got a very clear vision about what they want to do and how they want to proceed with it. Like, recording your own sound effects and remapping all the textures and
that's
all that.
That's a huge job.
It's a huge job, but it's also a very deliberate attempt to put your own sort of thing, your own sort of stamp on it.
That have to make it their own, so.
Watching that trailer, the reveal trailer, like, if you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it. But the lighting on the Spartans, on the cars, on the mountains, on everything, on the terrain, it's phenomenal. Just looking, like, that little difference of
Halo has always been a very bright game.
Lens flare.
Yeah, well, compared to, like, the dark, grungy fucking Call of Duty series, like, everything's dark.
That's
true. And
that's a good point. It is a lot more colorful than the pervasive browns.
I love the whole scenery.
Halo was always some great scenery. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm really impressed with what I've seen so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing more. When we were watching the reveal trailer, there's no health bar in the hood, so I'm wondering if they're going to incorporate the whole...
It could just be that was pre-alpha build stuff, so it's early days yet.
I did hear there's no beta at all for it as well.
No beta?
So it's going to go straight from...
Well, this is unconfirmed at this stage, we should point out.
No, I
read
it online on... I can't even remember what site, but...
So it's unconfirmed for the moment.
Yeah, unconfirmed for the moment, fine.
But if there is no beta, that's a very interesting step for them to take.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. It was saying it's the first time that Halo has not had a beta since betas became popular.
Well, the thing is, I almost think that Halo betas are redundant at this stage. You don't need them. Yeah. People are going to... The people who like the multiplayer of Halo, they're still going to buy a new Halo game. The beta is mostly just for bug reports, and I don't really think that's really too necessary.
How long have they been making this game?
It was announced at E3 last year, wasn't it? So
it would have been started making, what, a year or two before that?
Not a year or two. Maybe a year at most before they announced it at E3. They've been making it for a while anyway. It's like, I don't even know the exact gestation period.
It'll be a year away anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's coming out this autumn, so it'll probably have been at least a 2 or 3 year job for them.
Have you guys seen the new Quantic Dream video? Kara?
Kara, yes. Ken, you just showed me this.
Kara.
Yeah.
I watched this morning and I showed it to a few people and they were just blown away by it.
It's just a little side note. And the reason we're talking about it here, it's almost not even related to video games. It's just, we were blown away by this.
It's a new gaming engine. It's very much so related. But the fact that, well, it's an updated gaming engine. I won't say new. It's version 3. But it's...
Yeah, what I mean is that it's not actually... This is something that you need to remember when you're watching this, because it's not actually a trailer for a game. It's not... It's not even a tech demo. It's more like, well, so no, that's actually exactly what it is.
It's a tech demo.
It's a tech demo.
It's showing off what the graphic engine can do.
It's phenomenal. It's, and the fact that it was shown in real time on a PS3, that blows my mind, because those are graphics I've never seen before. Sure.
Like, there was no rendering issues. There was no texture pop in. There was no frame rate dips. We should mention as well that it was done by the guys who did Heavy Rain, which is one of the most cinematic games ever. And really made quite a lot of use of the guts of the PS3 to work.
But it's not pre-rendered like a traditional cutscene, like a traditional CG cutscene. So I was really excited to see that and to read about it.
I just love the way it's only 7 minutes long, and you nearly fall in love with the
character.
Oh, you feel so much. Like,
fantastically done.
It's really quite emotionally affecting. Detail.
The first time I watch it, I had nearly tears on my eyes, but when it reaches a certain point in the video, I'm not going to do a spoiler.
No, don't kill her. Please leave her alone.
I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's kind of like...
It's an emotional roller coaster.
Don't even say it. Take our word for this. Go and look it up.
It's seven minutes that you will definitely not regret spending watching this video.
No, absolutely not. Go and look it up if you can. It's all over the internet.
I'll post it on the
Facebook page. So check it out.
Right, moving along.
Some tech news now. I suppose a big tech announcement this week was obviously the Apple iPad 3.
Not called the Apple iPad 3.
Or as it is known, the iPad.
It's known as the new iPad.
They're not. I know, but are they actually referring to that, or is that just a slide?
Yeah, no, it's purposefully
the new iPad.
Are you? Does that mean I'm seriously? Like, if I want to get this, I'll walk into an Apple store and go,
can I get?
I will have the new iPad, please.
Yes, that's what it's called.
Offer. Can I have your old iPad then?
No, I'm not. I didn't say I was going to get it. I was just saying if I want to, I don't want to sound like a total moron.
Okay, well, I'm a huge Apple fan. Probably the only one sitting at this table, but I'm a huge Apple fan. So the specs of that. Okay, well, you're sitting with an iPad and a Mac. All right,
come on. I want one. I just have no money to buy one.
iPad, Mac, iPhone, everything's iPod.
You're a Mac tard, Cam.
I'm a Mac tard, yeah. But the specs on the iPad 3, they're literally mind-blowing.
They are incredible. It's amazing how they can cram all this stuff into the app. In there.
I just don't understand.
So like, just a quick rundown of it. A5X processor, quad-core graphics.
The A5X, quickly just saying that, 4 times the performance. Twice as fast. I mean, this is crazy considering the iPad 2 was the same deal. This is when they unveiled the A5 chip, and then they were like, twice the performance, twice as fast. And then all of a sudden now they're bringing this thing out that's like 4 times the performance, twice as fast.
It's tech, you know, everything gets twice as quick every year. So it's nice to see that they're keeping up to date with it.
They're doing it at a rate I would not expect it. It's beyond HD.
Will our children ever know the meaning of lag?
I know, yeah. Oh, probably God. If Aircom still exists.
Yeah.
But it's running at a...
Take that, Aircom!
It's running on a high-resolution screen that's 264 PPI. Like, that's beyond HD. It's
no, the screen resolution on it is absolutely unbelievable. It shoots video in 1080p. It's got an 8 megapixel camera.
It was announced today that it was 5.
5 megapixel. Sorry. Oh, my apologies. Like, it's raising the bar again, as Apple seem to do every single year. They are 10 steps ahead of their competitors.
That's a good sign, though.
And they're
setting the market. They're setting the market trends. This is how they manage to stay ahead so often.
It's going to be supporting LTE as well, which is 4G, basically.
Which is going to absolutely not affect anyone in this country at all for at least another 10 years.
Yeah, but it's worth mentioning
for our US listeners.
But what's really impressive is that they put all this tech in it and it's still promising to do the normal 9 to 10 hour battery life. That really is impressive.
No, the 9 to 10 battery hour battery life is one of the greatest strengths of this as a tablet. You can take it around for the entire day, use it loads, and you don't need to worry about it. If they can keep that battery life going, they're
promising
set.
To do that, so let's see how it goes. But as far as I'm concerned,
yeah, definitely. Well,
the same standard price, I presume.
I have the price guide here, but quickly,
the basic.
It ships on March 16th from the States, so I'm assuming here too. It's the 16 gigabyte normal one is $499, 32 gigabyte is $599. This is in dollars, mind you. The 64 gig is $699, but if you want the LTE versions, it's $629 for the 16 gig, $729 for the 32 gig, and $829 for 64 gig. So yeah, if you're not planning on buying a car or having a wedding, you can go.
No, $830. $830 is going to translate to about the same in euro. It always happens. Like no matter what the price change in currency. It's pretty much always dollar for euro when it comes to Apple products.
When it comes to Apple products, yeah. But like, it's pretty much worth its money. I think it's worth its money. I'm not going to run out and get it right now because I don't have that kind of money. But I would definitely, if I had that money.
If this thing goes kaput and I needed to buy a new tablet, then it'd be on the list.
This thing being your old iPad 1.
This thing that I love.
So slow now.
And they're also debuting the multi... first of all, they're debuting the iPhoto, which is great. If you're a Mac user and you know what iPhoto is, or even if you're not and you know what iPhoto is, it's great to see that they're finally moving on.
And in terms of gaming, just very quickly, games on this thing look amazing.
It looks incredible. They showed the demo. I saw the demo online today. It looks crazy. The graphics,
It's nice to see as well just how fantastic Infinity Blade, which is my favorite iOS game, looks on it. Infinity Blade is running smooth as ever, and it just looks fantastic.
They're also going to. I was watching their release trailer for the iPad 3 or the new iPad.
I refuse to call it that. I'm not calling
it
that.
You have to.
No, I'm not. Fuck you.
You have to.
Fuck you.
Some Apple execs.
Fuck you, zombie Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs will come back and. I don't know.
Dark.
Your leg off
anyway, yeah, they're putting GarageBand on it, which is going to be pretty awesome because you can actually, 4 people can use their iPad simultaneously on GarageBand and record a track together.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty cool. This is kind of ingenious because you're linking up software wirelessly to record something. This is amazing.
Oh, nice new features anyway for something for this year.
I suppose if you want to get like $4,000 worth of technology around a table and record stuff.
Well, it's good as long as maybe we can.
As long as you're not using one of them and your 4 iPhones to play Scrabble like total morons, you're fine. Okay, I want to take a moment to hit up our first KJB review.
Oh yes, of course.
This is
here
one
we
of
go.
My, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a love fest, but bear with me. This is... one of my most anticipated games of this year, it's the new SSX.
We promised this review last week.
I said last week, I have a history with SSX. Absolutely love the franchise. Couldn't wait for this game. But I suppose that also means I'd rather high standards for it. You know, I wanted to make sure that it was a good game, lived up to the franchise. And I can say right now, it totally does.
This is going to be a quick rundown. If you want to read the full review,
Full review will be posted on the Facebook page.
Definitely go check it out. I mean, it's a really good review. I got to read it a little while ago. It's very good. So do go check it out.
The new SSX, it's still the SSX you know and love if you played it. And if you haven't played it, you really need to. It reminds you of how much fun gaming can be. The courses are insane. The tricks are, you know, gravity and physics defying. One of the aspects as well that I really need to mention now, the multiplayer. The multiplayer is something that we raised concerns about it last week, which is that it's not conventional multiplayer. You don't go into a lobby and you don't just race with your friends. What you do
at the time, we were looking forward to that too.
What happens instead is you go to a course and you set a time or you set a trick score, and that stands until your friends can beat it.
And you leave behind a ghost. Love that ghost.
Yeah, you leave behind a ghost. You can see what your friend did, so you can follow them and keep an eye on them.
Stalk them down.
Stalk them all the way down the course.
Which is how I beat four of your scores.
You just follow them until he fucks up.
Ken, those scores will be beaten by tomorrow morning.
We'll confirm that.
It's something else I need to say. It is ridiculous how competitive this can get, though, because I spent 2 hours, 2 full hours of my life trying to beat Brian's time on one course. I'm not even joking about that. I spent 2 hours mastering this course.
Did you notice the time?
No, other than looking at my watch and thinking, fuck, I really should go to bed. This is seriously late.
After those 2 whole hours that you wasted for your entire life, you can't get them back. Did you beat him?
Yes.
Well, that's all right then.
There we go.
I beat him and it was the best feeling ever. The game makes you competitive and it's good. One thing as well I need to mention is that this review is coming off as a little bit disjointed, but that's because I'm trying to cram my entire review into a little segment. Please do check out my full review. The soundtrack's awesome as ever. The modes are awesome as ever. The new mode, Survive It, it's been getting a little bit of flack from the gaming press, I noticed, for being too difficult, which I find is being perplexing. They say that SSX's speed, you know, it doesn't translate well to rocketing down a mountain, trying not to faceplant into rocks or trees or, you know, really tall ravines.
I really enjoy that. That was actually something I really enjoyed about playing
the game. It's a new mode. Like, it hasn't been done in any SSX game before. And I like the difficulty. I like having to spend 30 minutes trying to master a course as opposed to, you know, waltzing through a game, playing on the hardest difficulty level just so I can get a little tiny challenge out of it. You know, it's nice to see a game that's actually, it's no Devil May Cry. It's no, like, starting out and then running face first into a brick wall of difficulty. It's challenging, but it's not impossible. And I like that. If you put the time into it, it rewards you.
Well, people ask for another SSX game and think that they've been given it. There you go. Off you go.
And that is even with making tricks easier to land, which is something I think you and I were discussing. Tricks are slightly a bit easier to land, which is nice, but they're still as insane and fucking awesome as ever. It's a fun game.
The graphics are really good too.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It's awesome. No technical issues I came across. No frame rate dips. No guys getting stuck in trees. I hardly recommend it.
Saying that, I did get stuck in a tree today.
You got stuck in a tree?
Yes,
but I haven't gotten stuck in a tree, and I'm writing the review.
How do you feel about the characters?
They've lost a little bit of their personality, which is one thing I will say. The game is a little bit less wacky than Tricky or SSX 1 was. The characters are, you know, pretty much bogged down. You can barely hear what they're saying over the soundtrack. They're fine. They're the tool you use to race down. You do what you want in it, you know?
Lovely. The tool you use.
They're the tool you use, exactly.
The story, like, made no difference to me. Like, they made this really impressive story of you're competing against one of the old SSX members, Griff, and then you have to make it and beat it.
Never liked that, Griff.
And now we know why. But we you have to beat a story and whatever. But the story could have simply been these 9 people get together and race down a mountain to try and kill themselves as quickly as possible. And it would have been the same to me.
Like, it's one of those games where the story is entirely inconsequential. You just ignore it.
But the comic book sequences where they're telling people's story, I actually kind of like that.
It's a nice little touch, yeah. I would admit. Right, quickly to sum up, as I've been saying, awesome game, loads of fun. I'd hardly recommend picking it up. It's a game that you can just get lost in. You can be as involved with the online community or as not involved as you want. You can be as competitive with your friends or just, you know, accept it and bow down to their obviously superior scores instead of needing to challenge them constantly.
Which is what's going to happen to you tonight, Jack.
I hardly recommend it. 8 or 9 out of 10 easily. Eight or nine. I would probably go as far as nine. I find very little flaw with this game. Pick it up, guys.
Even with your high standards, you give a nine.
Even with my high standards, yes.
Well, right now,
that might not be so big because we're on episode two, but by episode 12, you'd be like, fuck, that guy has really high standards.
Yes, I'll have come out of SSX and Mass Effect into the summer game sort of dip. So you can expect me to spend the entire summer slating Assassin's Creed Revelations and I desperately try and finish it in time.
So check out the full review on...
Facebook and Twitter.
We have, I've changed the domain for the Facebook, so it actually is, if you just go www.facebook.com/KJBcast, it'll come up.
Okay, hit us up there.
And at KJBcast on Twitter, of course. Send us your questions, we'll happily answer them. So, Silent Hill, I just want to talk about very briefly.
Some brief release news.
It's actually really cool because they're releasing three games in 1 month. I thought that was mind-bogglingly cool. They've got Silent Hill Downpour on March 16th. To be honest, I don't know the Irish release dates. I'm assuming they'll be similar, so... Silent Hill HD Collection, which is March 20th, and then Silent Hill Book of Memories on the PS Vita on March 27th. The HD Collection has me tingling. I am incredibly excited to play this game.
I love the HD collection re-releases. I think it's a fantastic idea. It's kind of taking a page out
of George Lucas's book for that, really.
Yeah, but they're not adding in Imperial Walkers into the background because that was their original vision of the game. It's not that bad.
This is my original vision of the game.
I really wanted, you know, to have the Sarlacc having loads of tentacles.
I don't want to get sued, so move on.
I'm looking to try and buy the Metal Gear Solid. Yes. HD collection for the Xbox.
That's on our list. That's on my list for the summer.
That's on mine for the summer too, because I've got Mass Effect and SSX right now, and I'm a little bit swamped.
Don't need anything more for the moment.
All I have to do is save for a couple of weeks to afford it.
Silent Hill HD, fantastic. Silent Hill 2 is one of the creepiest games I've ever played, and I recommended Amnesia: The Dark Descent last week, but like Silent Hill 2, it gets under your skin, and it's nice to see them re-releasing it for, you know, people who've never had the chance to play it. On the PlayStation 2.
That was me. I never had a chance.
Never played Silent Hill 2?
Never played it.
Well, now you have your chance.
Now you have your chance. Which is actually... Is it coming to Xbox?
Yeah, it is.
Kev, yeah, you wanted to move on now? What have you got for us?
Just mention about Minecraft.
Minecraft.
1.2 is being released.
Now, you are the only one around this table who plays Minecraft. Jay plays Minecraft.
Okay.
So are you guys excited for this?
So teach us first, quickly. Like, because we don't play Minecraft, tell us what...
Minecraft was a distraction for while I was in lectures in college, sitting there mining out mountains and stuff, trying to get diamonds.
It's as addictive as The Sims was to kids.
Yeah, no, it's hugely addictive. Like,
it's a bold claim.
No, it is.
It is. No, you just sit there for hours. You start off with just your hands,
and that's it. And I swear to God, after an hour, you've got an inventory full of crap, and you're digging a hole to try and survive the night.
See, this is fantastic. This is something that I've heard is really, really compelling because obviously the retro simplistic graphic style helps.
It's beautiful. It helps so well.
It's like getting your first box of Lego. Not one of these like pre-built kits with instructions.
That's a beautiful way to describe it.
Lego blocks that you're just...
You're letting it on the floor, you're letting what you want.
You're let loose in a world which is essentially of your own making.
Exactly.
Yes, it's absolutely beautiful description.
Okay, so briefly, what does 1.2... what does the 1.2 updates give us? Do we know?
It added ocelots, cats, iron golems, AI for mobs, tame wolves that can have puppies...
I want a puppy wolf.
Villagers will have children if there's room in their village.
Sticking to real life. It's totally obvious that you're reading this off a screen right now.
New map height, new items, blocks, doors that have been updated so double doors work better with redstone.
Oh my god, no.
So double doors.
Overall, quite a substantial update of new content.
Yeah, well, it's a big enough release. Like, there's always patching.
In fairness, I don't think it takes much to put in a new door or a new block, a couple of pixels. You know,
I will argue that it does.
Okay, Minecraft on the Xbox is something I'm looking forward to as well. Yeah.
Four player split screen, so you can have.
So you can all go around mining.
If they do it properly, I'll like it. If they do it the Android version that they have for Android phones, and that's just like subpar, it's not the same thing at all. I don't enjoy playing that.
I was actually playing it on the iPad when we were in England the other week.
Moving on. I guess we might as well jump straight into Hitman Absolution. A little bit of news. Viral marketing campaign has started up with there. www.barcode-society.com.
It basically is a good way to kickstart this new Hitman Legion that's coming out. There's like two new games coming out. They wanted to sum it up on one website, so go to Barcode.
Two new games.
They've announced two new games. One coming out at the end of this year, and I don't know if the second one has released yet. I think it might be next year. But
some in sequels.
I don't think it's sequel. I haven't read anything about it. They're not telling anything about it.
They haven't said anything about the second one yet, have they?
No, not the second.
It has to be using the same Hitman. What's his name? Agent 47.
Oh, it's all about 47.
Oh, it's always 47.
It's been about 47.
Just keeping the plot details under wraps at this stage.
I suppose it's only been just.
But if
just
you want any up to date information, do go to that website. It seems pretty cool. I got to browse it. I got the email this morning saying that it came up, and I sent it straight to Jay. It was pretty. Like, it's a nice little website. It has basically everything we've already seen, like the advertising and stuff. But I'm sure they'll be first to have all the information before anyone else on this website.
Obviously, it's their own website. Of course, they have to have it up there first.
That's a nice little bit of viral marketing. So check that out if you're a Hitman fan. I know there's at least three of them on this table.
I know we're two subjects down the line, but while we're talking about HD collections, Ratchet & Clank HD got leaked by Amazon France.
Yeah, I meant to mention this while we were on the subject of the Silent Hill HD collection. Yeah. Ratchet & Clank, getting its three PS2 games moved on to an HD upgrade. It leaked by Amazon France, which seems to...
Amazon! It got listed as a May 16th release and then got taken off the site rather quickly, but of course people caught it and people saw it.
It's very difficult not to catch these things.
Amazon always do this sort of thing anyway.
Yeah. But like this, isn't this the second one as well? There was Black Ops 2. They had announced that a few weeks ago. They'd announced that there would be a Black Ops 2.
The thing is about a Ratchet & Clank HD collection, that is, it's not a surprise, but it's news. The news that a second Black Ops game is coming out was inevitable.
Yeah, because like he copyrighted the website Black Ops 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. So I'm assuming there will be more Black Ops.
Yeah,
oh my
God.
Well, it wouldn't be up to 6. They're just keeping their options open in case.
Just in case I got a copyright 7.
In the next 20 years, we'll have Halo 55 coming out. So.
That's an impressive output of games 19. For 20 years.
343, really put the effort in there.
One game every quarter.
I just want to put into discussion quickly, like, how do you guys feel about companies like Amazon France and stuff just putting out these release dates? I know it's exciting for gamers because then we're like, oh my God, this is actually happening. But it's kind of like... Is it not kind of a slap in the face to the companies that want to unveil it themselves?
It's a slap in the face to the companies. It doesn't affect me, so I don't mind. It's like if the company leaked it, I'd feel exactly the same about it. If the company announced it in a press release, it'd be fine. It's a company's issue to take up with Amazon. So like, it doesn't affect me.
Fair enough.
Just
Amazon
one more.
Having itchy update fingers.
Listed now for pre-order. One more bit of news about the HD collection. A HD collection that I'm incredibly excited for. Zone of the Enders.
Oh, really?
Zone
nice.
Of the Enders HD Collection. It was announced at the same time as the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, but for a different release date. It's just vaguely penciled in for 2012. It's been announced, still a vague date, but quarter four 2012. So we're getting a Zone of the Enders HD Collection this autumn.
Is there two, three games?
Two games. They're going to be using Zone of the Enders and then Zone of the Enders 2, the second runner.
Lovely.
Now, I don't know...
You're a fan of that, I assume. So
huge fan of Zone of the Enders. It got it on the PS2, mostly for the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo, the one that was in Japanese, back in the day. But it's done by Hideo Kojima, who did the Metal Gear Solid franchise. Zone of the Enders, for those of you who don't know, mech combat with a grand epic storyline. Fantastic games.
The
really
fact they're
fast-paced.
Putting it in HD is going to be fun, then.
Incredible in HD.
Really fast-paced. Gorgeous games, lovely art style, lovely graphics. Can't wait for a HD collection, to be honest.
It's a typical Japanese game, though.
It'd be also really cool because Europe and America got a very, very small release of the second game. Now, lucky I managed to pick up mine, but like I've been seeing it listed for years for exorbitant amounts of money. And I'm just glad, I'm really, really glad Zone of the End is getting a HD release. And hopefully it'll generate enough interest for Zone of the End.
Do the HD
the
releases
3.
Come on discs? Or
they come
just,
on discs,
just
yeah.
down
the... No, it's discs.
It's discs as well, yeah.
You can go to GameStop and buy it or whatever.
So that is that's a little bit of HD collection news that I wanted to add in.
All right, I guess we just go on to business news then?
Yeah, we'll do it. Okay.
Business news.
Business news. Ken, you told
right,
a
so,
pretty big story.
Yeah, I was pretty excited to read this. I'm pretty sure I read it on IGN, and then I followed the story up, and it has been confirmed. Corey Barlog, director of God of War, wrote and directed God of War 2, created the spin-offs on the PSP, and worked on X-Men Next Dimension. He became a part of Crystal Dynamics team to work on the new Tomb Raider.
So that's interesting, because the new Tomb Raider is not on my radar. It still isn't, but this is still just an interesting story.
They've taken a really weird twist in Tomb Raider series.
Yeah, they're making it dark and gritty, aren't they, and realistic.
But I'm kind of looking forward to that, because I did play like Tomb Raider 1, and I had a great time playing Tomb Raider 2. I did like the original Tomb Raider games. So like, I haven't sort of kept up to date. I got the one that was on PlayStation 2 just before PlayStation.
The one where you could lock the butler in the fridge.
I think that's as far as I
ever got. That's the only thing I ever did in the Tomb Raider franchise.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm interested. This is clearly a play to make the Tomb Raider, you know, series a bit more up to date. Because the God of War series is huge.
Yeah, but if you're going to go dark and gritty with a game, this is the guy to do it, man.
I suppose, yeah. God of War is as dark, is pretty much as dark as games get. But I'm just wondering how easily Tomb Raider is going to fit into the gaming world, where that sort of action-adventure platforming title has been thoroughly robbed by Nathan Drake and Uncharted.
Uncharted, great games.
Uncharted are fantastic games.
I love them.
And they've totally overtaken Tomb Raider in sort of...
I've never played it. Is it really, really bright, or is it dark and gritty?
Oh, no. It's bright, and the one thing about Uncharted is the graphics are absolutely stunning.
It's beautiful.
Legitimately awesome for current gen tech.
You're kind of looking at the dark and grittiness of Call of Duty compared to Halo.
So the comparison doesn't really stack up, because it's the Uncharted games are just beautiful.
I find Uncharted is a lot more enjoyable than Tomb Raider.
Oh yeah, well, for one thing, the protagonist is a lot more fun.
Oh yeah, well, that too.
And it's got the same sort of, it's got a more Indiana Jones feel to the treasure hunting than Tomb Raider's treasure hunting.
It does, actually, yeah.
But would you whip? How are you guys?
He doesn't have a whip.
He has an AK-47.
Okay. He's got dry wit.
That beats whip, I suppose.
Are you guys looking forward to the new Tomb Raider, though? I mean, like, no. If it's going to be dark and gritty, I'm really excited
If there's a demo out, I'll check it out. I've played the Tomb Raider games in the past. But
this is going to be a whole new take on a Tomb Raider.
I'm just past dark and gritty, man. I don't want dark and gritty too much.
Oh, I think it's dark and gritty is here to stay.
I
like dark and gritty.
Perfect example. When the trailer for this current SSX game came out, it was called SSX Deadly Descent. The trailer basically made it look like Jason Bourne was snowboarding. It was awful. It was really, really dark, and the mood was oppressive, and it was horrible. And I was looking at this and going, no, you can't do this. You can't make SSX dark and gritty. Tomb Raider, it's one of those games that needs to be tongue-in-cheek, because especially at this stage, especially since Lara Croft has been one of the 90s greatest sex symbols for no adequately explainable reason.
How big is her boobs in this
How
one?
Triangular are they this time? The Tomb Raider series needs to stop taking itself so seriously. Have a bit of fun. And I think they're going in the exact opposite direction here. I'll keep an eye on it, but it's not on my radar.
Well, with Corey Barlog going on to it, I'm pretty excited to see where it goes, because I really did like the God of War series. That was very impressive. So I'm excited to see what he does with his contribution to Tomb Raider. Yep. Shall we say? I have another piece of quick... It's not so much news, it's just kind of something really random. Angry Birds Space is coming out for the iPhone.
And Angry Birds in Space!
They released a sort of a demo of it today, but they used Don Petit from the space station, and they actually had him floating in zero gravity, flinging Angry Birds across the space station doing this live video.
Because that is the perfect use of our astronauts' time.
Yeah. I'm going to put the video up on the site today. But
sorry. Jay has just brought up Mecha Washington on his phone, and it still looks fucking awesome.
Well, I'll post that to the page too. But I just wanted to point that out. It's March 22nd for Angry Birds Space. But do go check out the trailer. It's a very interesting take on whatever it was supposed to be. But it's fun to watch an astronaut play with birds. The Mega Man creator, Kenji Infuin, I hope I'm saying his name right, revealed that he's looking into some development for a game on the PS Vita. I think that'll be kind of cool, because I really liked Mega Man. So it'll be an interesting twist to see what he pulls out for the PS Vita.
And what do you think of this news about Peter Molyneux?
Yeah, it's in a little bit of news that just broke quite recently. Peter Molyneux is leaving both Lionhead and Microsoft Game Studios.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Peter Molyneux is creator Fable, and
Fable.
He's the Steve Jobs of Fable.
Yes,
that's
he is.
A good. That's pretty
he will
comparison.
Be finishing Fable Journey before he goes, though.
Okay, cool.
Fable Journey is the next edition in the Fable
that's
series.
That's the Kinect version, I believe.
Yeah. Cool. This is pretty big news, because Peter Molyneux, whatever your opinions of him, I know Brian fucking hates him. He cannot stand the man. Whatever you think about Peter Molyneux, he's always really creative. Like, sure, his the results might not necessarily stack up to his hyperbole and his ideas, but I think the world is a better place for him. Like the gaming world, it's creative.
He came up with something original.
Yeah, and like how often can you say that when every single year we're getting a copy pasted Call of Duty game?
Yeah, very true.
That's the thing about it. If Peter Molyneux always, you know, he takes new directions with gaming, and you know, I'm interested to see where he's going next. Obviously, leaving Microsoft Game Studios. Pretty big thing, like
that's pretty big news.
Yeah, it's just a speculation about whether he got kicked out or whether this was on his own accord.
Everything that's been reported says he's leaving on his own accord.
Okay,
but obviously, it could be a big project working in the works
then, anyway.
Yeah, he might
it could be
going independent.
Obviously, there's only one way to know, and that's with time.
Yep,
I'm excited for the new Fable game, too. I love Fable because my kid cousin came over from Germany. Not really much English or anything, wanted to play Xbox, just wanted to hang out while they were on their visit. So he was playing Fable. First thing he does is pick up a sword, go into the nearest town and try and kill everything. And it was just such an awesome experience.
I
never thought to do it.
Really?
This is why
I do it all the time because they always walk in my way. So turn off the safety lock, walk over and go, try walking in front of me again.
Excuse me, sir, you're in my way. Bang!
It's quite annoying when you're on your way to meet somebody in the market, as you do in the missions.
As you do.
And then all of a sudden, there's a crowd gathering around you. Sign this! Sign this! No!
I don't care how famous I am, I'm not signing your dog.
And of course, you can't kill children, even with the safety lock.
Oh no!
But they're in the way too.
How terrible. Maybe that's what Peter Molyneux has left Microsoft Game Studios for. Anyway.
I feel so sorry for your fiancé, man. It's like, you can't kill children.
Here, why? I can't
virtual children. I can't kill actually virtual want to go
children.
Away.
God.
I don't want to actually go to like a pediatrics ward and just slaughter everybody.
Now, see, no one was suggesting that, but your mind went there.
My mind always goes there.
Okay.
Thinking about young children and pediatrics.
What about Medal of Honor?
Medal of Honor Warfighter. Release date got posted for October 23rd. From what I can tell, you're basically a counter-terrorism agent.
Probably
am I right with that?
Last one, Tier 1.
Tier 1.
As last.
Is that the developers?
No, that's the like high up like SEAL team.
Oh, right. So no. It's like your Delta Force.
It's the same as the last game. Really. Okay, right.
Medal of Honor games have never excited me since like Medal of Honor Rising Sun.
That was fantastic. Come on, imagine afternoons we spent.
Oh no, Rising Sun, I loved, but the current gen Medal of Honor didn't excite me at all.
I actually rented it last year and I played it and I finished it in 2 hours, the entire campaign, and I went on to play the multiplayer. I did not enjoy it at all.
Mm. See? I just don't think
it was kind of local play crack that we had.
Yeah.
Infinite ammo rockets with rebounding.
Infinite rockets.
All you did was local.
Or even the PS1 with Winston Churchill bouncing around with infinite rockets. Fucking love that. It's our finest hour. Medal of Honor hasn't seemed to have translated well onto current gen systems. DICE, they don't really seem to have dropped the ball with this one. I personally, Warfighter, I need to mention it, obviously, because it's a game that some of you might like. Not on my radar, so...
Definitely staying on my radar. I'm very excited about it.
I love the old
Medal of Honor games. I haven't tried any of the newer ones, I will say, but I'm very excited to just see what they've got going on. It does look a bit Battlefield 3-ish, but I mean...
That's because, it's DICE, so...
Yeah, but I'm really excited about it.
We have a lot of Modern Warfare kind of battles these days. Like Modern Warfare last year, we had Battlefield 3, and we had Medal of Honor as well.
Mm.
So they're all going for the same kind of time zone.
It's definitely very in right now.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll keep you up to date on that. More information as we get it.
So due to some complaints on the length, we're going to shorten it a little bit today.
Yeah.
Try and keep it a little bit shorter. Sorry about the rush we were trying to get through.
We had like a lot of information coming out this week. Won't always be this rush because we're going to hit summer eventually and there's going to be no news at all.
And then you can listen to us shut on about our day.
Yeah. So I just want to end it quickly. I've got a rec this week, something, you know, it's sort of like bookend the show with, just recommend something that I find cool. There's something that I liked. If any of you guys have something, please do chime in with it. I want to recommend an Australian TV series called Danger 5.
You showed me this online.
Danger 5.
I'm dubious.
Sound dubious?
Sounds dubious.
Hear me out. Basically, what would happen if Thunderbirds was live action?
Oh, Jesus.
And World War II was in the 1960s.
So you're going to get like
and
people
the person who
hopping around the place.
And everyone for some reason sounds like they're dubbed. I'm pretty sure one of the guys is.
And it's pretty much as if it was made by people who are on a very, very high dose of medication, because it is really weird and really crazy, but it's worth checking out.
Again, the sets are, it's done knowingly tongue-in-cheek. The sets are shit. All the dogs are hand puppets, which is fantastic, by the way.
Remember you showing me that trailer?
Yeah, basically, I'll set the scene. The opening scene of it is two Nazi blimps with swastikas all over them carrying away the Eiffel Tower. Tiny model Nazi blimps as well. It's fantastic.
If you are offended by that, we apologize. you can not.
If I've somehow offended any Nazis out there, I really apologize. Anyway, you can check them out. It's on YouTube at Danger 5, a little five-part web series. Currently, it's showing on Australian TV. Can't get it over here. We'll hopefully be getting the DVDs. But you can check them out at danger5.tv. So please do check them out. It's a load of fun.
What about the achievement of the week? I believe, Jay, you were mentioning.
Jay, it's your achievement of the week.
Recommendations.
If anyone else has any recommendations, please chime in.
Actually, because Borderlands 2 is coming out, I want to recommend that if you haven't played Borderlands 1, definitely go play it, especially for the multiplayer. Like, it's a single player is fantastic, multiplayer is fantastic, even if you're just playing split screen, it's just so much fun.
But Kev, are you saying that the game I got you for Christmas you haven't played?
I have played it. I've played like first like 2 hours of it.
I feel a lot of tension in the room suddenly.
Yes.
You could have with a knife.
Well, I'm going to recommend Nikita, mainly because Kev recommended it to me and I started watching it last
week. That's a TV show, Nikita.
It is.
Fantastic.
Bit of a rundown for those of us who haven't heard of it.
Secret American organization working beyond the laws, doing secret hits.
And outside the government's power.
Outside the government's power, yeah.
So you're standard clandestine secret agency.
Set up by the government, though.
Ah, I see.
It's theoretically run by figureheads. Of certain political powers.
Mm-hmm. So what's the plot? What's the whole hook for it?
One of the assassins escapes and tries to take down the company.
Ah, cool.
She escapes, learns the truth behind, says that they're called Division, and decide
that's a pretty
cool name. It is a pretty cool name. The leader of Division wants to kind of take over. He wants to like become the superpower.
Okay.
Control the world, basically. And Nikita wants to stop him.
Okay.
So we won't spoil too much, though, so check it out.
That's a decent hook, like, and you guys seem to absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah, that's great fun.
Nikita is great.
It was a great recommendation from Kev, so I'm passing it on to you.
Grant, check that out, then.
Well, continuing with TV shows, I should give a shout-out for Castle.
I love Castle.
It is fantastic.
I've never watched Castle.
I'm a huge Nathan Fillion fan, so that's what pulled me in.
Yeah, that's why I would watch it. Nathan Fillion is the only reason
I'm so happy that somebody else here has watched Castle.
You sold Nikita to me, now sell me Castle.
Castle is just fun.
Briefly.
It's about a writer who goes and works with a police agency to try and get some inspiration for a story, and then ends up actually being really good at solving cases and stuff. So it's kind of like Murder, She Wrote meets Stanley.
Sorry.
I would absolutely love to see Nathan Fillion play Jessica Fletcher. She breezes into a town, and the person who says, "I've read your book," stays alive. Someone else gets murdered, and she leaves. You know, sorry, but Jessica Fletcher murdered all those people.
I know how to sell you on this. There's a new episode that came out. I'm not going to spoil too much about it. It's in the latest season.
Is that the one of the Avengers comics?
It's purely, not just the Avengers comics, it's purely about comic books in general, and they make their own superhero in it. It's pretty cool.
Isn't it all Marvel comics, though?
It's Marvel comics, but they do reference Batman and stuff, too, but they don't show any.
They don't
Batman
show it, because like, ABC is owned by Disney, and Disney owned Marvel, so it's a nice little bit of synergy there. That sounds pretty cool.
The humor in it is fantastic. The characters are amazing. Yeah, it's just so much fun to watch.
It's good, because I
do you
personally...
know why Marvel, by the way?
Hmm?
Do you know why Marvel? Because they made a graphic novel of Castle, and Marvel actually did it.
Well, yeah, but that's because...
That's a real thing.
Yeah, because it's like, as I was just saying, ABC, which is the network Castle is on, is owned by Disney, and Disney owns Marvel.
Oh, so, right, that's fair enough, too.
But the
Deadliest Storm, I think it's called, is actually real.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm sorry to
that. It's written, actually, I think it's written by Brian Michael Bendis and Kelly Sue DeConnell, and both of them, fantastic authors. So that sounds good. I might
watch a couple episodes. Check it out. See how you feel.
It'll hook you line and center.
Police procedurals are never my thing, but just Nathan Fillion. You know,
Nathan Fillion, and he's really good. Like he plays not the same kind of character as Firefly, but that same kind of sarcasm and wit, and he's really quick. And
the fact it's set in a police precinct is minor. It really is. It's not.
The cases are kind of cool too. Yeah. Like it's
okay. So we go. Our TV recommendations for the week. Danger 5, Nikita, and Castle, and also Borderlands. Check out Borderlands if you haven't already played it. Jay, just to wrap things up, your achievement of the week. What is the achievement that you found found.
I have two achievements.
Better be good now.
Two.
I hate both of them. You absolutely hate them. They're my most hated achievements of all time.
Okay.
First one is Lego Indiana Jones 1. There is an achievement.
Okay.
I love the Lego games. They're fantastic. But the achievement is to blow up 5 people with one explosion. Okay. Sounds easy enough considering they all bled in together. Problem is, on most of the actual games, it glitches. So you need a minimum of 8 to explode.
Typical which, Indiana Jones.
Which happened to me. It took me weeks.
And well, you are a bit of an achievement hunter, though, as well.
Exactly.
Achievement hunter is an achievement whore.
It took me hours each day.
No offense to the whores out there.
Yes.
Yeah. It took you weeks to get it. That does suck.
With hours at a time being spent trying to attempt this.
Okay. And what was the second one?
My second one is Fable 2, the doll catcher achievement.
Oh, I remember
that one. Yes. How I got that was I had
Give us a rundown of what it is first for those who
You had to collect, I think it was 6 or 9 dolls, and you only
got to trade them with other heroes, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You only got 2 in your game, and you had to win the shooting range in order to get them as well. And I had to go online, and I ended up in a giant lobby full of whiny American children who were all shouting over each other while I was trying to make an honest deal.
Children, calm down.
Yes, that is actually
I will
a
tell
line
your parents.
I have to say. It took me the guts of an hour and a half to convince these 2 guys to sell me them all.
Give me your dollies.
It was trying to buy a doll off
I've got Mega Super Ultra Barbie
hard.
Here. Give me Ken.
I've got an ice cream.
But after I got this achievement, it was the last one I needed for Fable 2, I put the disc in the box, I closed the box, and I fucked it across the room. And to this day, I don't think I've opened that box since.
Okay, so we have hated achievements this week, as opposed to just funny ones, so...
On current standings, we're not sure who's going to be here next week at the moment. So,
Jay, who do you want to recommend for
me? I'll pick you, Jay.
Okay, so it's me next week. It's my achievement of the week next week. Okay, perfect.
But Kev has a sad face, so he might be here next week.
Do you have something to recommend now, Kev? No?
No.
Achievements
come
now? Jesus, don't put him on the spot.
Don't put him on the spot. Think about all the achievements he's ever done. Pick one right now that you like. Okay, so just to close up, thanks for listening. Please keep retweeting, keep sharing, keep subscribing.
Because we know we will.
Subscribe to us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on kjbcast.podbean.com. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook.
Email us. Tweet us. We want to hear feedback. We want to hear what you guys think. We want to get any questions. Anything you feel we're not covering. Anything you feel that we are covering.
Don't forget our Gmail account as well.
kjbcast@gmail.com.
Send your emails to kjbcast@gmail.com. Tweet us @kjbcast or like us on Facebook.
Basically just Google KJB.
We are everywhere at this stage.
We really are desperate for your feedback, as critical as it may be. Just let us know what we can do to make this better for you. We want to make this a good show for everybody. Yep. We want to make it enjoyable.
We want you guys to have as much fun as we have doing this show.
That was really corny, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's really corny, but I feel that way, so.
That's true. And it's really enjoyable to work on it, and it's really exciting when Thursday rolls around.
A podcast for gamers by gamers. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just help us make it better for you.
So just signing off. I'm Jack.
I'm Kevin. I'll hopefully see you guys soon.
And I'm James, and I'll see you next week.
I'm Ken, and I'm here every week, so I have no choice but to see you next week. KJB for the win.